We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If Jesus were alive today, and if he were running, could he have been elected president, do you think? Was Jesus presidential material? You know, you might wonder if he could be commander-in-chief, because sometimes it sounds like he's a pacifist. There was that scene when the soldiers were trying to capture him, and Peter whipped out his sword to defend Jesus, and he said, no, put it away. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. I don't know that we can generalize that statement and say that he was a pacifist. He was, at that moment, on a mission, and that mission required him to be captured. But that aside, was Jesus presidential material? He was from a working family, and he had no formal leadership experience. And what kind of a campaign would he have run? He told the truth even when it made him unpopular, and he would never have defamed his opponents. So I'm afraid to say in this country, he probably wouldn't have gotten elected as president. He was not presidential material. So if, you know, that's exactly what the leaders of the Jews thought, the religious leaders, that he was not the material they needed for a leader. And it wasn't that he was trying to run for president, of course. He was trying to run to be recognized as the Son of God, as a Messiah. And they didn't think he had the material to be a Messiah. Their love of power blinded them to see who he really was. I mean, they were men of God, right? Religious leaders. So they should have heard God's voice when Jesus told us to repent of our sins and to love our enemies. But they didn't. They should have seen that it was God's hands who healed a leper or blessed a child or raised a man from the dead. But they didn't. Their need for power blinded them. If Jesus were the Son of God, you see, then the way they'd been interpreting Scripture was all wrong. And they didn't want to say that. And they didn't want to lose their power with the people. So they called Jesus a blasphemer, someone who was irreverent and someone who was contemptuous toward God. And they demanded that Jesus be crucified. And so that's why they stood at the foot of the cross mocking him. But there was one person there at that crucifixion scene who saw Jesus for who he really was. And it was an unlikely person because it was one of the thieves who was also being crucified alongside Jesus. But you see, he had absolutely no power in that moment, that thief. And because of it, he could see the truth. The thief saw or heard the voice of God when Jesus forgave his enemies. The thief saw the face of God in Jesus as he hung there while innocent, suffering silently. Jesus hung on the cross, writhing in pain, wretched, and yet, and he was not royal material at that point, and yet that thief called him a king. He said, remember me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Isn't that true? That it's when we're at the end of our ability, when our power has just come to an end, that we then can see the face of God. Isn't it true that, you know, maybe it's happened to you that there's a time in your life when the person you love the most has sort of turned their back on you, at least temporarily. Or the people you thought were your friends at work or at school have started to undermine what you do, and your world seems to be crumbling, and it's then, when you have nowhere else to turn, it's then that we fall on our knees and say, God, help me. Because it is then that we can admit that we're backed against the wall and we need a Savior. All the good things we do are pretty, you know, pretty shabby compared to what we should do. and our power is limited, and we are blind often by the same thing as the rulers. We're blinded by our need for power, and we need a Savior. And it's then, when we're backed into a wall, that we shout with the thief, "Jesus, remember me." Remember me is what he asked. Now, he wasn't asking Jesus to just think about him. He wanted action. When we learn as the confirmation class, all of them, the ones past and the ones come that are still there, could tell you the third commandment is God tells us to remember the Sabbath day. God is not commanding that we just simply think about church, but that we show up, of course. And Jesus, when he instituted Holy Communion, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he didn't mean just think about communion. He meant be there. Take part and let my body and blood change your life. So when the thief said, "Remember me," he wanted action. He wanted to be rescued. He wanted salvation. And it was salvation that Jesus promised. When he answered in this way, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Those are the words I hope I hear God whispering in my ear as I am dying. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, some people say paradise is not a place. It's becoming right with God. And if that's true, then that thief was already there. Because in that moment, he confessed his sin, he saw the love of God, he was right with God. And if there is nothing after this life, if the paradise is that moment when we are right with God, and if Jesus' life had ended there, we would still agree with the thief, and we would call Jesus a king of love. And we would honor him the way we do Mahatma Gandhi, who gave up so much of his work to free the people of India and finally was assassinated. Or Martin Luther King Jr., who ignored the death threats and the attempt to burn down his house and kept working for civil rights and was assassinated. Jesus, too, gave of himself for others again and again, and he was killed. So we would remember Jesus as a king, the king of love, even if paradise was only that moment. But Jesus' life did not end there. He was raised from the dead 3 days later, and his friends saw him alive again and again, which proved that he was the king, the Son of God. He was the Messiah. That proved he was stronger than the Roman whips and spears and nails, and that he was stronger than the rebuke and the hatred of the religious leaders. He was stronger even than the forces of nature, stronger even than death. And that's what he promised. That's what he promised the thief, and that's what he promises us, that this life is not the end, that there is a paradise. Whether it's a place or a condition of being or an experience, it's a place where Jesus reigns. Where Jesus reigns. He is not just the king of love. He is also the conqueror of evil and sin and death. So how does that influence us right now as we think of paradise at the end of our lives? How does it matter? Or does it? To know the end of the story. You know, we often don't want to know the end of the story. Maybe some of you have had the unfortunate experience of wanting to watch a televised sporting event, a football game or a baseball game, but you can't be home, so you record it, and on your way home, you hear the final score, and you didn't really want to know before you saw it, but you got the end ahead of time. Or maybe you wanted to read a certain book or see a certain movie, and then you heard a review on the radio that told you the end, and you were disappointed. You didn't want to know the end before you read it. But it's different with our lives, isn't it? We do want to know the end. It doesn't disappoint us. Instead, it gives us peace. To know that, you know, at the end of our lives, we will be welcomed to a place by a God who loves us. Like a child knows, as I was saying, that there's a, no matter how rough their day was at school, when they get home, there are parents who love them and will take care of them. That makes a difference. It gives our lives perspective. It keeps things in perspective. All the challenges we face, all the battles we lose, are seen in the light of the war that Jesus has won. And so no matter how out of control our lives may seem at times, or how out of control our country may seem, or how out of control the world may seem, Jesus reigns. He is there, above and underneath, loving the world, working silently to spread goodness. Jesus reigns. He always was, he always will be, the King of love and the Lord of all. Amen.